We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
Hey, welcome to Still Cold Strohs. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Charlie Polillo and Josh Jordan. You can follow them on X at Polillo and at Josh Jordan SES. On today's episode, what's worse than losing a series to the Angels? How about staying up late to watch it happen? But it may be the Astros season that's getting put to bed as they fail to take advantage of playing one of the worst teams in baseball. They now head to KC and hope to avoid a royal flush. Charlie and Josh, welcome in. We have repeatedly tried to seek out silver linings to a season that started off on the wrong foot and has suffered a double amputation since. Houston went into the Angels series with three of their best pitchers of the season. I know it's not a high bar per se, but there was at least hope that maybe they could get a sweep. Well, there almost was one, but it was the wrong way. It's been a frustrating season, and the Angels series encapsulated a lot of what's been wrong this year. A pitching implosion, cold bats, an injury, questionable managing, bad base running, but just enough hope to let you down. So I'll toss it to you guys because I think I've said what I need to say. What did you guys take away from this series?
Well, Wednesday night, they could have been the San Antonio Spurs. So it's not like the Astros had the worst sports night for a Texas team, but this was the most discouraging series, I think, so far of the season, because we're now well into the season. And when they got swept at Colorado earlier in the year, it was still earlier in the year, and three-game hiccups, they're going to happen, just as three games of wow on the good side can happen. But 70 games in, the Astros are 31 and 39. There are two teams to this point that have been clearly the worst teams in Major League Baseball. The Angels in the American League, the Rockies in the National League. The Astros finished 2-4 against the Rockies. They're 3-4 with six more to go against the Angels. So instead of beating the hell out of the scrubs and holding your own against the good teams, the Astros aren't really holding their own against the scrubs. The offense continues to be all too effete. The Angels really kind of gifting them the game Monday with sloppy play, demonstrating, yeah, that's what a really bad team looks like. And then the Astros follow that by getting blown out Tuesday, mustering all of five hits. And then Wednesday, was that Reed Detmers or prime Frank Tanana? You can go baseball reference him in the Angels archives. The Astros managed four hits in losing in 10 innings. It's the same garbage in, garbage out with the lineup when you get from the five spot down, typically with one of their supposed five best players getting a game off on a given night. And to hit on one of those five, I mean, it's not like it's over, especially with three more seasons at 25 mil toward the tax per season. But my God, Altuve bats are getting increasingly painful to watch. He's a lousy player right now. He'd been crummy for weeks before the oblique injury, and save one home run since his return, it's more of same. Start of the season, 378, his first 11 games. 37 games since, 194, 540 OPS. 37 games, Jose Altuve has struck out 38 times. He's back to chasing as badly as he ever has. I mean, one of the whiffs, pitch bouncing before it gets to the plate in the Wednesday game against the Angels. But he's going to keep leading off. We're batting third. We're never lower than fifth, I guess, because it's Altuve on the back of his jersey. And the riff and raff they have as alternatives, typically hitting 6-9.
Yeah, the thing I've noticed is that if you look at their runs scored for the season, you're like, oh, that's not that bad. They're a pretty decent offense. But that doesn't tell the whole story. These last few series tell you everything. In one of the games, like against the A's, they'll score 13, and then they hardly do anything else in the rest of the series. And then you look at the Pirates series. They scored 11 in one of those games. So the offense goes crazy in one game and then pretty much nothing else for the rest of the series. And they did that against the Brewers, too. They scored 9 against the Brewers. But against the Angels, 5 runs was the most that you even scored in this series. So now they're even trending poorly in that direction. And the thing I've been complaining about for a while is what the offense has looked like in finales. It's been putrid. That's why I've been like, you got to win the first game or you have no shot at winning the series. And now they scored 3 total runs in the finale of their last 4 series. I mean, that is just wretched. That is terrible. And I'm going to pile on Altuve here with Charlie. 2 hits in his last 18 at bats. And we heard from Chandler Rome that Altuve doesn't like rehab assignments. And that Dana Brown says, well, he's still working on his timings. You're killing this team, man. Go work it out in Sugarland. I'd rather have Bryce Matthews out there, not just with the bat. He's faster than Altuve at this point. And look at him at second base, that ball that got past Altuve's glove tonight. I think Bryce Matthews gets to that. I think he's also showing he's a further liability at second base. So, look, I love Altuve as much as anybody, but he's not playing like Altuve right now. Chandler Rome also reported that he was going through some other injury besides the oblique that he was dealing with before then that maybe explained some of his poor play. Man, this isn't the time for that. The Astros don't have time for you to figure it out here. I'd rather have somebody else over there until he gets healthy.
I think it was last episode that we drew the distinction between the Astros could really use the old Altuve. The growing reality is at 36 years old, he's just old Altuve, which doesn't mean he won't have spurts and streaks, but his days as an elite player, a sustainable year-in, year-out, all-star caliber player, they are gone. And that 3 years, $75 million accounting for on the books, aye, aye, aye. That they're only 4.5 games out heading into the weekend, plus or minus a half game because of Seattle playing in Baltimore Thursday. It doesn't matter if you're no good and you're just headed towards 75 and 87 or wherever they're headed. I mean, the silver lining is Hunter Brown should be back in the rotation starting one of the games against the Tigers after going 5 innings, 78 pitches Wednesday night. Last I checked, though, Hunter Brown doesn't hit. In terms of amplifying on Josh, your point about feast or famine, it's like, what is it? The top 1% of the wealthy in this country own like 32% of the wealth in this country. It feels like the Astros score 75% of their runs in 25% of their games. And just as the wealth distribution isn't good for overall America, the population, when you score 12, 13, 11, and people espouse nonsense like, well, they could just do this every night. Well, if they could just do that every night, it would be a miracle. No team can make a living scoring 10, 11 runs regularly. Rather than 11 one night and 2 the next, give me 5 and 6, you know, or 4 and 7. You'll wind up winning a lot more games that way.
Yeah, and in this game, Shea Whitcomb comes through for you to get you on the board and actually get a hit, and then Cam Smith comes through. Kind of your unlikely guys. I know Cam's been playing better lately, but, you know, you get nothing from Paredes. He's hitless. And then the pitching was really good. I'd like to give Joe Espada some credit tonight. I thought he did the right decision, pulled Lambert out when he got hit in the hand. De Los Santos comes in, does his job. King comes in, strikes the dude out on 3 straight pitches. Hader looks great. But then Abreu, the last guy there, and they tried to go with that formula again. Abreu after Hader did not work in this time. But overall, I thought Espada actually made the right moves for the most part to keep this game close.
This was a rough series because, like I said, there was at least some hope going into it. I think that's what is so bad about it, because you're like, okay, it's been a rough season, but this is the Angels. We have accepted, we've caveated the fact that the Astros are not a good team necessarily. They're not going to hold their own against other good teams, But you look at it, you're like, okay, there's enough positives here to where if they can just take care of the bad teams, they can take advantage of being in a bad division. But Charlie, as you mentioned, they cannot hold their own against bad teams. And that equals an inconvenient truth of they are one of the worst teams in one of the worst divisions in baseball. And it's getting really, really hard to sugarcoat or find silver linings. And to that point, Josh, if we're swapping out Matthews in for Altuve, I guess the good news is the base running will look familiar. Bryce getting picked off trying to steal second in the ninth of the opener of this series on what can only be called an idiotic base running decision. I want to ask you guys, like, you gave a spot of some credit for the finale of the series, but overall we've seen bad base running blunders, ugly defensive miscues in this game.
That little pop-up over first base that Cam Smith should have come in and caught.
Yes, correct. But just in general, and then, you know, we've talked ad nauseum about, you know, the decisions being made. Do you guys feel like, in addition to the offense slumping, that maybe the managing or the coaching, if not the messaging, is also in a slump too?
You can spray all the perfume or cologne you want, but if you stink, the stench is going to surface, specifically on base running. Overall, this is an atrocious base running team. There are metrics that they're not just bad, they're the worst. And they're the worst relative to the good teams by a laughably absurd margin. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, there were 29 teams who were a net positive in one measurement of plus base running plays. The Astros were the only team out of 30 in the negative. But it's the broadest strokes. It's just not a good hitting team. There's no depth to the lineup. We talked last episode how Yordan is having a triple crown candidacy type season. It's happened once before, by the way. 1933, Chuck Kline, Philadelphia Athletics, the triple crown winner. They finished 60-92. So that Yordan could wind up making a run at the triple crown while for a losing team. That would be a sad statement on the 2026 Astros. And I just feel like there's the cat chasing its tail component. The division's so weak. The league is so weak with a third wild card is still under 500. So the Astros can say, hey, you know, we're close. But that mentality, unless they surge, you know, they can't go to a full-blown youth movement because the farm system's a joke. But they would be better served. I mean, they're not going to just chain Altuve to the bench. But Bryce Matthews is 24 years old. Lopefito is about to turn 27 years old. They need extended run to draw conclusively the opinion whether they can be viable regulars in the major leagues or, oh my God, it's even worse where they're purported better prospects. You know, Walker Yannick, when healthy, doing nothing at double A, like 135 batting average at double A. Xavier Nyans has great raw power. He's also like 9 years old, so he's not going to get here for another 2-3 years minimum. So that you're hanging around in a woebegone in American League West and American League. Oh, but there is this. Dana Brown finally added another left-handed bat. Where's his name? Raynel Delgado for cash from the Tampa Bay Rays, because who can resist trading for a 26-year-old guy who's never made it to the major leagues and has a 682 OPS in AAA?
Yeah, I mean, all their middle infielders keep getting banged up with Shoemake and Allen, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's up here on the team pretty soon just because they need some depth. But look, with Bryce Matthews, we'll see. I'm not super high on him. I just think until Altuve shows that he's ready to come back and has his timing, I mean, he's a liability up there. At least Matthews can run into one and hit it over the wall. I know Altuve got one the other day, but like Charlie said, he's swinging at pitches so far in the dirt, it's not even close. He's, like we said this earlier, he's clearly guessing. But back to your base running thing, Brandon, look, I hate to say anything about Yordan because he's the only good thing, but I kind of put a little on him in the finale of that game. He's rounding third base, and I think Parrish Chica made the right call to have him stay at third base because as the relay man was catching the ball, he was just rounding third base. Parrish Chica tells him to get back to third, but as this is the game is on the line right here. You need to be watching where that throw goes and be leaking off the third base a little bit in case it gets away. You need to be able to take off. He was just kind of lackadaisical, just kind of lollygagging back to third base. And then he noticed the ball got away. And then it was a play that close that had to get overturned. And that was the ball game. So I just, the urgency to me is not there. Like I said, I hate to criticize Yordan, but if he was paying a little more attention, I think he's safe.
I think that probably goes to the point about everything slumping right now, including the defense. Jeremy Pena has had an error in each of the last three series. So I had to go back. That's the most consecutive errors in series that he's had going back to 2024, when he had errors in five consecutive series dating back to mid-August to early September of 2024, in which he was in a real bad defensive slump. This has not reached that critical point yet, but it's just so uncommon to see it from Pena. But I just think it goes to show you when it starts falling apart, it goes to your point, Josh, about just not being keenly aware. It really was literally him taking his eye off the ball and then watching him try to put his body in motion to run down there. It looked like everything else was at full speed because Neto absolutely airmailed that ball. So he had all the time in the world. It just looked like Alvarez was running with, like, in concrete.
The word lumbering just comes to mind. And to back your perception as reality, Brandon, Yordan Alvarez in sprint speed rates in the bottom 10% of Major League Baseball this season.
And Pena with the bat didn't do himself any favors either this series, going hitless. He did have three walks, but also three strikeouts. We will preview the Royals series next, but before we do that, Charlie, give us a word from Fidelity One Mortgage, please.
So you're ready to buy a house, maybe for the first time. What about getting square on the mortgage? Think Fidelity One Mortgage, Houston company. Greg Sheena has been helping Houstonians as the co-owner for 36 years. Greg dots every I, crosses every T. Whether a home or investment property, improve your odds of an accepted offer by securing pre-approval. And when you do that with Fidelity One Mortgage, you are still free to rate shop elsewhere after a contract is accepted. Whether buying, refinancing, or tapping into home equity, Fidelity One Mortgage delivers through the whole process, striving for unsurpassed customer service through the process. They'll help you qualify, apply, and be approved. Mention me or Stone Cold Stroh's to Greg and get up to a bonus $600 credit for the appraisal. Call Greg, Fidelity One Mortgage, 713-752-9276. 713-952-9276, NMLS 311-100.
We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
So Houston gets the day off Thursday before beginning the last leg of the roadie against the Royals. Is this a series in which Houston can take advantage of a lesser, air quotes, lesser opponent?
Oh, could. Then again, the Royals are saying the exact same thing. Kansas City is having a hugely disappointing season. They were thought to be a real contender in the mediocre American League Central. Instead, the Royals are right behind the Angels for the and the Red Sox now for the worst record in the American League. Bobby Witt Jr. is fabulous, but the rest of their lineup has been largely terrible, including World Baseball Classic stud Vinny Pasquantino. The Astros will not face Michael Wacha, the former Texas A&M pitcher, who's among the American League leaders in quality starts this season. The Royals are ripe to be beaten. Of course, so are the Astros. But after losing two out of three in Anaheim, right, this nine-game stretch against crummy teams by record, Angels, Royals, then three here against the Tigers next week, though the Tigers have perked up a little bit of late. I mean, to me, 6-3 is what you needed as the floor to call that a good stretch. Well, that means they need to go 5-1 in these two series against the Royals and Tigers, I would be cautiously pessimistic in betting under 5 wins.
For me, I'm looking at the probable pitchers for the Astros. It looks like Imai in the first game, Burrows in the second game, Arrigetti in the finale. So I'm going to be looking at how does Mike Burrows pitch? Because Dana Brown was on the flagship just this morning, and he talked about they're having internal conversations about Burrows possibly going to the bullpen, maybe skipping a start. Because, you know, Hunter Brown's expected back this upcoming week now. He was very good in his rehab start the same night as the finale. So Hunter Brown's expected back. So who's going to be the odd man out there? The only thing I'm thinking, how bad is Peter Lambert hurt with that hand injury? Maybe that saves Mike Burrows if he's unable to go. And Dana said they're kind of open to 5-6-man rotations just depending on the schedule. They haven't really decided on that. So for me, that'll be a big one. Mike Burrows, I mean, for Dana, I know that's his key phrase, having internal discussions, whatever. But if they're talking, and that's that guy he went out and traded for, but they're talking about skipping him or maybe moving him to the bullpen, working on some other pitches. So he better show some improvement or he may find himself out of the rotation here pretty quick.
Burrows can skip all the starts as far as I'm concerned, at least this season. I'm not ready to definitively give up on him. Like, I'm going to have my eye on Cam Smith. Josh, you touched on it. Cam's last 15 games, I mean, the strikeout numbers are still high, 16 strikeouts over that period, but 9 RBI and 519 slug. At this point, I'll take that from Cam, but you need Trey Mancini to not out hit your entire team. I mean, I joke, but Trey had 3 hits in the opener, and that's more than Altuve, Paredes, and Pena had combined for the entire series. So,
and throw in Jose Siri with the walk off on Wednesday.
Yeah. Insult to injury. Final thoughts before we're out the door.
I'm going to pass. That series annoyed me.
Yeah, I feel like I got it all off my chest, Brandon.
Yeah, I mentioned it last show, the declining view numbers, and I'm not trying to be inside baseball here, but it's just we can see that interest in this team is declining. Jim Crane, are you paying attention? Everyone else is tuning out. Are you watching? And what's funny is, I'll end it on this, when this series started, for as bad as Houston had been, I watched the Angels bungle that game 1. And I said, well, Houston's had a bad season, but at least they're not the Angels. And then they just get torched in the second game. And then in the finale, get walked off by a former Astros. So, woof. It's hard to say that now. Indeed. One last reminder, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to click like on the video. And if you listen on podcast apps like Apple or Spotify, please give us a 5-star rating while you're here. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon saying so long. We'll see you next time, we hope. Otherwise, this just turns into a group chat. Until then, as always, go Astros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.